Good evening, everyone. This is Monday, October 19th, 2009, the PNB Elections Committee meeting. This is Bill Crozier, chair of the committee, calling it to order. And I don't have the complete list of everybody, all the members, and our secretary is not available. Let me call the name of the people I knew who are, I think are on the call, and then if anybody else is on, you can identify yourselves. Bonnie?
I'm here.
Okay. Sean?
Present, sir.
Anthony?
Here.
I guess I should say last name. Sorry, Anthony Fest. Bob Lederer?
Here.
Tracy? I forget your last name, Tracy. Sorry.
It's Larkin.
Larkin,
and
yeah.
And I'm here.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry, Carolyn?
Yes, here.
Gordon? Steve Brown?
Here.
Okay, did I miss anyone?
Wendy.
Oh, Wendy. Okay, Wendy Sherrell. All right. Okay, so we have quorum. Let's see, I hope everybody got the attentive agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda, anyone? Okay, hearing no changes, I guess we'll go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Bill, this is Bob.
Okay.
Yeah, I think in light of the report we just got, we're going to need more than 45 minutes for questions, and I think Les is probably going to need more than 15 minutes for his report. So, or maybe we could ask him how much time he needs, because there's a lot of issues here.
Okay. Yeah, how much time do you think you need, Les?
That's hard knowing. I have... there are a few problems at every station, but obviously the big one is WBAI.
Okay, well, we're just worrying about them.
PFA, but that's, you know,
PFA has some too.
We can be a little loose with the time, I think. I don't know of any new business that anybody has right now.
Yeah, I can be on this call. I'm on mute now, but I have to change.
Okay. All right, well, we don't have to hold to these time limits necessarily, especially if we don't have any new business to deal with afterwards.
Sorry, so I thought it was muted.
Okay, anything else, any other changes to the agenda, anyone? Like new business or anything? Okay, hearing none, then I guess the agenda is approved with the provision that we'll not hold fast to the time limits. Let's see. Yosh had sent out last month the September meeting minutes.
Bill, can I? This is Steve Brown.
Steve.
Agenda, and I don't either at my own email address nor on the list that I usually get.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Let me read it over. I should read it anyway for anybody listening on the stream. Right now we're on approval of agenda, followed by approval of the September meeting minutes. 5 minutes. Report from the number three. Report from the National Election Supervisor. 15 minutes, and we just decided to not hold that to 15 minutes. And then under that, 3A, KPFA election count, parenthesis Sunday, October 18th, and procedures, which I had forwarded some draft procedures to you folks this weekend, unless we may have more. 3B, tentative schedule for other stations. 3C. Update since October 7th Special Elections Committee meeting. And then number four, Q&A with our NES, 45 minutes, and that can go longer. Number five, new business. I don't know of any for now. And then adjourn approximately 10:30 p.m. And you should have, by the way, you should have received about three notices automatically from the, should appear to have come from the PNB at pacifica.org. If you're on the list for KPFTX with this committee. If you're not, talk to me later and we'll get that fixed. So, okay, right now we're on approval of September meeting minutes. I hope everybody had a chance to look at them. They were sent to everyone from Yosh on, let's see, I'm looking at the wrong one here. September 22nd, and it was for the meeting was the 21st. Are there any corrections to the minutes? I ended up taking these and putting them into a election committee report later that week, I believe. Okay, hearing no objections, then the minutes are approved for the September meeting. And, okay, Les, I guess you're on. You want to give us a report and update on how things are going?
Well, there are complications at all the stations. Let me just say that, first of all, at WBAI is a special situation, although theoretically, had this been a normal election, they would have easily had quorum. At KPFA, about 29, over 2,900 listener ballots came in, which is somewhere in the range of 14%. Over 50% of the staff voted. It was over 160 staff votes. Over 1,700 ballots came in KPFK, and that's over quorum, both for staff and for listeners. Surprisingly, KPFP in Houston had over 1,000 ballots come in, so that's about a 14%
Hi, Jim Brown here.
Return.
Sorry I'm late.
Yeah, Jim.
And at WPFW, they're very close to quorum if they don't have it already. That's very, very close. I extended that election for 2 weeks, and I have no question that they'll have quorum. So that part's good. There are several problems. One is, particularly at KPFA, we found out that the initial run, they used the membership rather than a random generated number in order to put on the barcodes. And, of course, among other things, the volunteers who don't pay don't have membership numbers, which means that their ballots became blank. That was about 160 people. And they didn't catch that until after, I mean, the mailing house, until after they had mailed these out. Now, the instructions to them were pretty clear. They claim they have caught it for the other stations. I haven't had a chance to look at that. I will be doing that tonight. So because of this problem, we had an additional problem at KPFA. I had new software written. The software is not as flexible as what we had. The idea is to try to make this quicker, and we're meeting tomorrow night to do the official staff ballot at KPFA land. There are ballots that are questionable, that is, where people don't fill in the squares, but do check marks and do all kinds of other funny things, color coding. We're having a committee actually put them on decent ballots and then run them. We'll see how that goes. The software itself is being corrected as we speak. I haven't set up times for the other stations, but I wanted to make, because I wanted to make sure that KPFA, which has the largest number of ballots, both for staff and for listeners, that the software works. The biggest problem, of course, is WBAI, and there we were confronted with something we've always been confronted with, which has been that people have called in and they said they want ballots, they want, they called back, and you're talking about not one or two people, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of people. And it turns out that that led to an investigation, and Bertold Reimer in particular found out that there were several lists, not just one list, that were floating around the studio. And so the question was how to correct what was happening there, because it turns out that the list that I got included members for getting ballots, and it also included members who should not get ballots. So we sent out 8,878 ballots to people who should not get ballots in the original mailing. The PayPal list was found, and that was not integrated into MemSys. That was another 1,300 ballots. And so we sent those out. But then in addition, there was another 10,000 eligible voters found by running MemSys through correctly that were found who have not received ballots at all.
What was that number again, please, Les?
It's approximately 10,464, approximately.
10,000?
10,000, yes. So what...
You've got mail.
So I was mostly depressed with the various things, but there is a solution. Fortunately, we're in the days of computers. And what can be done is, with the 8,878 people, it means that the barcode readers are going to be very, very busy. But with those, we're going to remove them. We're going to remove all 8,878 people who should not have received ballots, who did receive ballots, many of whom who turned it in and thought they were voting. And we are also sending out this week over 10,000 candidate statements and ballots to people who didn't get them at all. And so we're back to something which the bylaws really don't have anything to do with, because all of this is none of this is in the bylaws. They're being sent out first class at about 87 cents per pop. For every envelope, and they're being sent out this week, and we're extending the election to November 15th. By that time, we'll have removed all of the people who should not have received ballots, and we will have sent people ballots who should receive them. In addition, we're putting this on the website, and obviously carts are being made in order to indicate to people that this is being done. The envelopes, of course, are going to have on them November 15th is the reception date. A note will be put in there that it is November 15th that we're looking for these dates, for these things. The ballots that we've received, we'll simply scan. There'll be probably half of them that are not valid, but half of them probably are valid. So, those are being deducted from the number that we are sending out. So there will be some ballots already in that will be counted. We're not throwing those away. We're just going to scan them, and with the barcodes of people who are ineligible, they will be removed.
Mr. Chair, may I ask a question?
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Unless today, I just received the second ballot sent to me first class, and two other people notified me by email that they too have received second ballots. Do we have a procedure in case any people who receive extra ballots vote twice, and I assume that there are more than three?
We need to check. The reason why this is happening is that mostly what was happening at first is mostly you had me mailing out the ballots. This has now been transferred to Ethan. We're going to have to compare our list. Here's what we're doing. We thought about this long and hard, and part of this came from a problem that we had at KPFA. We don't have to have a situation where we simply put in the barcodes and say if that barcode is there, it should be erased. And for example, let's say that you send in two barcodes, that you have two ballots, and okay, we erase. And let's say we erase one of the barcodes. You don't know which one we erased. You don't know that because.
How would you know that I sent in two ballots?
I'm about to explain.
Okay.
Because each ballot has a unique barcode. And so what we're doing is putting in what's called an OR measure in our ballot counting. So, for example, if we sent out three barcodes, let's say we sent three ballots to people, they have three barcodes. Let's say that the barcodes are 131, 150, 175. In our system now, it says 150 or 135 or 175. If there's a hit on any one of those, it erases that whole line. So it doesn't really make any difference which ballot. In other words, if you get three ballots, all three codes are good. The first ballot that's used erases all three codes.
And it's tied to my name.
And it's tied to your name.
Right. Okay, that's good. What about the people
that... We didn't do this before, so this is and this is something that's being tried out tomorrow night. And the reason it's being tried out tomorrow night is because we want this already has come up in our yesterday's counting where people, you know, we were keeping track of who we sent the ballots to, and it turns out that somebody voted the first ballot and they didn't vote the second ballot. Well, of course, if they voted the first ballot, how did that work? Let's put it this way. If people are sent three ballots, all three numbers will be in the line. The first ballot that comes in that has been sent to that person will erase all three ballots.
Okay, that's a good solution. What about the people who sent ballots?
Yeah, when you say it erases all three other ballots, it erases two, but doesn't it leave the one they voted on? Doesn't that get included in the count? I'm just trying to be very clear here.
Oh, the way the system works, let's say that we send a ballot out to somebody and they Xerox off two of them. Okay, the first one that goes in erases that number. If that number doesn't exist, the ballot doesn't exist.
Before the 13? The 13 was the first time you ever did it? So it can be page 1 through page 140? I mean 40?
Yeah, Wendy.
Wendy, I'm not understanding the question you're asking. All I'm trying to say is if somebody has sent three ballots and they vote on all three of them, the first one that comes in vitiates the other two, and the only votes that are counted on is that first one that comes in.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you, Les.
Was that your question, Wendy?
No, I'm so sorry. I was talking to my son about his homework. I thought we were on...
Okay. I didn't understand either. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, you really threw me there for a minute, Wendy.
The phone was down on the table, and wow. Okay. All right.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Les.
That was all. That's all I have to say on that.
Okay. Now, are you pretty sure that these... people getting multiple ballots, you can match them up, though, so that you'll know they're the same person, so you can...
Well, what is true is this, is that every person that we've sent a ballot, the rule is, this is the rule. The rule is you put in the name, you put in the ballot, and then you send the ballot. That's the rule. So, I'm fairly certain. Can mistakes be made? Yeah. But I don't think there's going to be many mistakes made, and I think that the solution is pretty foolproof because all we'll do is take all the ballots. It's pretty easy to match up the names in Excel, to match up those names and find out that, in fact, people there are dual people who've been sent two different ballots, and all we have to do is take those two numbers and put them on one line. Ballot counting. So, if anybody has ever seen the barcode line, it's a single line of digit. It no longer will be. It'll be. It could be several digits. And what the program is doing is simply looking down these lines and it's looking for any digit. If it finds a digit on any line, it erases that whole line, because it means that it's a valid ballot. It counts, but none of the other ballots will then count.
Okay. Did you have more to report, or do you want to just open up to more questions?
I just wanted to open up any more questions.
Okay. Well, could you give us an idea of the schedule for the additional stations, or do you know yet?
I don't know yet. I mean, we've just changed the date for WBAI, so WBAI will not be before November 15th. I can tell you that. We are counting the ballots for the listeners for KPFA next Saturday. Assuming things are going all right, I would like to arrange to have KPFK and KPFT done somewhere, by the first week in November. We're having a conference call on Friday, and we're going to be setting that up. This Friday, okay. We'll be having a conference call and be setting that up. I'll have a better sense, because we're running some test packages now, and I wanted to make sure that at least we have some clear procedures that we're going to be working with.
Okay. Other questions?
Bob.
Okay. Or Bonnie, was that you first?
Yeah, I have a couple questions about the KPFA stuff.
Okay. Go ahead, Bonnie.
As far as the staff lists go, Les, I know that at the counting last night, when we were given a copy of that list, after going through a couple of problems because we were given the wrong list, we right off the bat found 8 people that were on the list twice and apparently had 2 barcodes because they were given 2 ballots. Mm-hmm. I believe we caught most of them. However, in looking at it for a few minutes earlier today, I found another one. And I hope that that's going to be corrected before anything is counted tomorrow. And I also found that there are duplicate names on the list, so that there are 290 barcodes, but only 284 names. So that's going to have to be rationalized before any votes are counted tomorrow.
The only way that there would be more barcodes than names is that one person had been given more than one barcode. The reason that we're trying that, we're scanning from scratch.
I actually sent you a detail on this. It's because you have 5 people on the list twice with different barcodes.
Mm-hmm.
So before these are gone through and scanned, we need to make sure that the list is correct, that it is the same number of staff names as there are barcodes.
Well, this is true, yeah.
Because right now you're off.
Mm-hmm.
What is more concerning is this problem with the ballot coding. Can you explain to me a couple of things that I'm not sure how you managed to surmount? We use MEMPSIS codes instead of barcodes. So when it's a couple who each give their money,
yes,
they have 1 MEMPSIS code. If they both voted, how will you deal with that?
What I'm working on right now. We have a couple different solutions, and the company that has made this mistake is working with me on this, and they are responsible for it, and they're trying to come up with a correction. The easiest correction, of course, is what they've done is they've gone through the list and found how many of those duplicates there are, and we put the duplicate in, because remember what the barcode does, it erases one of those things. So if you have 2 people voting, they have their 2 votes, then when the 1 is erased, you still have 1 left. There are some problems with that.
That doesn't work if you've used MEMPSIS codes instead of barcodes, what you just
said.
Well,
sure it does. Sure it does.
If they have the same MEMPSIS code?
Yeah, because you put the MEMPSIS code in twice.
Is that what they do initially when there are 2 people?
No, that's what we're going to do to solve the problem.
I'm sorry to be thick-headed. I'm not getting it here.
You're
going to go through the entire Memphis list of 21,000 people.
Yes.
And you're going to, how do you know somebody's a couple?
It's very simple. What we want is to find out how many duplicates there are of these Memphis codes. And then we can check the address.
So you'll put these in Memphis code order.
Yes.
Look at each duplicate.
Yeah.
Then check their address.
Yep.
Would there be a situation where they would have the same Memphis code, but they'd have different addresses?
I don't know, and I'll find out, because I'm not doing this. They're doing this. They're the ones who caused the problem. They're the ones who are doing this. And they're going to be sending me a list, and I'll have that list open to people.
Okay.
So I can't answer the question because I haven't been sent the list. We just found out about the problem yesterday.
Well, wouldn't it be normal procedure that the national election supervisor or local election supervisor would be doing test runs of things? I believe that's how it was done in the past. Maybe not.
Yeah, we did.
Well, why didn't you discover it?
Because the codes that were sent out were not the ones that we were testing.
Huh?
Okay. Hey, Bonnie, I tell you what, I suggest that we just make notes of things we need to make sure we fix for the next election.
Okay.
We need to get the current problems fixed, but the
aside
reasons are
from
sort
the
of secondary,
with,
I guess, right now.
With any couples, what is your plan for
Bobby,
the people that have no codes?
The plan
well,
for
you,
people...
You don't do that tonight, Doc.
The only solution I have for people who have no codes is to send out a ballot to all of them. I can't think of another solution.
And what will that do to the timing of our election?
That will delay it.
So what are we proposing for a time schedule?
I haven't had time to think about that. I was trying to deal with the place that caused the problem and what they're going to do about it. They were mentioning that they would do two things. One is to make sure that the people who had no numbers were not, that in fact they did dedupe those. In other words, that they are not in the list twice. I just want to make sure of that. And then the second thing is to send out a first class, that they would send out a first class mailing for all of those people.
So you would be postponing your potential vote counting next Saturday.
That's correct.
So should we assume that's what you're doing?
I don't want to assume anything because I haven't had time to even look at the data. And I want to hear whatever people have to say about it to figure out a good solution. It seems to me the only good solution to this is to delay it. That seems to me the only good solution.
Right.
If another one comes along, I am open to it.
Les, can I ask a question?
Sure. Steve.
Steve Brandt. I may have missed this. I heard you say how many ballots came in from the other stations. How many ballots came in from WBAI?
There were almost 2,200.
So that must include ineligibles. Is that right? People who were members from last year?
It has to.
Yeah. Did you have a final count on what the WBAI voter roll should have been?
It's in the 14,000, it's about 1,400-1,900 range.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not, Steve, I'm not sure what it is now. I mean... It's it's still in about the same range. Because we have to take away about 9,000 votes or adding 10,000 votes, but we've already got 50. About, I have the figures in here. There were 5,795 names and addresses that we sent to that are eligible for voting.
Les, interesting. What you did was something that I've been trying to get out of WBAI for at least 7 years, and that's a kind of de facto regression analysis, because I wanted to know how many names were in this year's voter list that weren't in last year's, and I've been wanting to know this for 7 years, and I could never get that out of them. But now we have proof of the fact that the station is churning. At least 50% of its members drop out.
That's
every
correct.
Year.
That's correct.
That's terrible.
That's terrible.
Right. We never had that before.
Okay, I have a question. This is Bill. Les, I was just wondering, I know you had a lot of problems getting the right lists and all that, and new ones keep being discovered. I'm not sure what the process is because I'm not there, but are you pretty sure you've uncovered all the lists now, all the potential members, or the real members, I guess, and did you have a way of determining which ones are current?
Two things. You know, that, very, very good question. The only list that I trust in terms of membership is the one from KPFA. The reason I trust the one from KPFA, I've said this to people before, is I've worked with Chris Dralick a long time. He's got a procedure. I should point out that, you know, I know it's a dumb thing. There's a reason why green lights are green lights, meaning the same thing nationwide, and red lights mean the same thing nationwide. You know, one is stop, one is go. There should be certain procedures for MEMSIS. There should be certain procedures for how we gather this data, which are nationwide. And it seems to me that that should be incremented, documented, that that should not be something left to each station to say, well, we'll do it this way or that way or the other way. I mean, this doesn't make any sense at all. These lists are all over the map. I mean, I get lists in different formats. I get lists in raw data, not in Excel. I get lists in Excel. I have to convert them. Sometimes I can have to convert them to Access to try to figure out what's going on. The only reason I'm able to do this is because of Chris Dralick, because he goes through and makes sure in a couple of different ways how this works. It's sort of interesting if one were to go up to the office of the Varn in the national office. I locked the ballots up there, and you have these piles of extra ballots. And the ones from KPFA are almost not touched, and the reason that they're almost not touched, there's very, very few of the listener ballots. There's many, many fewer listener ballots that went out than staff ballots, which is very unusual. And the reason for that is that the list is maintained, so you don't have that. That's not the problem at KPFA. It seems to me one starting point would be to use that standard for the whole system, so that we don't keep coming into this problem. To be spending this much time on mailing lists, where we have it, you know, it's expensive. I mean, sending out 10,000 new ballots, we're talking about $17,000.
Okay.
Bill,
I think I skipped Bob, by the way. Bob was on the stack after Bonnie.
Carolyn on the stack?
Later, Bill,
okay,
if
yeah.
You could let me, I had one more concern with the KPFA election.
Okay.
And this is Jim. Can I be on the stack also?
Okay, yes. Yeah, so we have Bonnie's finished, then Bob, then Carolyn, then Jim. Okay. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Les, I know that about a fifth of the staff votes are not going through the scanning software that you're using, and that the discussion last night was to take these because they have extraneous marks on them or the scanner just isn't able to read that somebody crossed something out. It's a little bit different than the scanning software that I think we used last time.
Mm-hmm.
If I understand it correctly, the intent is now to take those fifth of the staff ballots and recreate them on blank ballots.
Right.
And then be able to run them through the scanning software after people have made some sort of determination or agreement as to what the listener or staff person meant to vote.
Mm-hmm.
If indeed this holds for the listener ballots, which I don't think that we would be far wrong thinking it's going to be at least that,
mm-hmm.
Figure that it would be 600, 700, 800 of the listener ballots that could be impacted by this. What I'm really concerned with is I think there are already going to be arguments on the staff ballots, and there were only 7 candidates.
Right.
When it comes to the listener ballots, we're talking about 28 candidates, and having opened a number of them out of the envelopes yesterday, we all know that these ballots, that the spaces for people to fill in are tiny,
mm-hmm.
and very difficult for a lot of people to do cleanly. And I'm really concerned about the possibility of errors,
mm-hmm.
when we have upwards of 600 or 700 of these being recopied,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
by a group of people who have probably been sitting in a voting arena for many, many hours and don't get along with each other very well to begin with.
Right.
I just think we're setting up a nightmare here.
Right. My answer to that is this. I do have an answer, and it's not a definitive one. Bing and I met, the person who's writing this program in Delphi and I met, one of the things I did not like about the form reader program is that it was too flexible. In other words, we would end up almost rewriting each ballot. I wanted something which was a little bit faster than that. The program that Bing has is too fast. So what we're going to do is this. Step one is exactly what Bonnie said, which is that you have a committee, and the committee should be of people who are in disagreement with each other, looking at these ballots and determining, because most of them, frankly, are not. It's not like hanging chads or anything. I mean, we're talking about looking at a ballot and somebody has a big X on something, and all the other boxes are filled in. People will agree on this, no matter how. I don't think we're going to have problems with more than a couple of ballots on that. So the first thing is to clean up those ballots and run them all through and see what we have. But that's just step one. Step two is that he's rewritten the program. And the idea is to keep rewriting that program. Maybe he will have it rewritten by tomorrow. To keep rewriting that program until we can take all those ballots and run them through and find that rather than a third of them, you may have one or two that a committee has to study. And if we get down to something on the order of less than 1%, so for most places, I mean, if we, you know, we're talking, most places, we're talking on the order of 100 or 200 ballots, and all the rest are read through rapidly, then we don't have a problem. If we can't get to that thing, that's going to be a serious problem. And we're back to where we were before, where we took a couple days in order to run through all of these programs. I'm hopeful that this program written in Delphi, which is open source, I'm hopeful that this program will in fact do it. He's tightening it up a little bit as we speak. We'll find out tomorrow night. That's all I can say.
Okay. Bob Carolyn and the Jim on the Stack. Bob?
Okay. I'm absolutely reeling from all of this massive level of just complete chaos and dysfunctionality. Let me understand a few things. On this, the question of the wrong list being used. And didn't I hear you say that there were two MEMSIS systems?
My understanding, well, there's not two MEMSIS systems. There's one MEMSIS system. But my understanding is that there were a couple of different lists that were on the system. And it's also how one queries MEMSIS. That's important. You have to have the proper queries.
Right, but how? Why were there two separate lists on the system?
I don't know. I'm not at WBAI.
Okay, and now...
I can't answer that.
In terms of your practice with Ethan, where you were both sending out the replacement ballots, and some of you, in some cases, people got two ballots,
mm-hmm.
How could that possibly happen? Isn't there a common database that each of you checks before you send out...
Yeah, but what was happening, we were being flooded. So basically what happened is he sent me a whole mess of, about 250 of them. And I sent those out, and I sent him the list. There were individuals who... called in that I had already sent out, who had called in to Ethan after I sent him the list, saying they hadn't gotten their ballot either directly or indirectly, and to be sure, he sent the ballot out to them. Probably he should not have done that. I mean, there's no, you know, it's like, but the fact of the matter is. I can give, for example, a concrete example why we do that. It turns out that there's a friend of mine in Vallejo, California, who I know. He was waiting for his ballot right away, and it turns out that I moderated a session down in Vallejo for a community forum. And because he hadn't received his ballot, and he was from Vallejo, I asked people from Vallejo how many had received their ballots. They all raised their hand. I thought, this is very bad. So I had my local election supervisor send him another ballot. He sent another ballot and called me a week later and said, I didn't get it. And so I told the local election supervisor, something's really wrong here. So she sent him another ballot I just because, you know, we wanted to get this done. I looked up on the database list, and it turns out that his address was wrong by one digit. So we were sending it to his next-door neighbor house. That's how that happens. But then people call up, and they call up, and they call up, and they say, I don't have it, I don't have it. Sometimes you ask for the address, or sometimes they send the address in, and you send it. Sometimes they send the wrong address in. And you send it to the address, and then you find out it's wrong. So, it happens. That's what I'm telling you. It happens. All we can do, like with the friend of mine, is simply invalidate the codes. With him, it was easy because he said, "Now, 21 got his ballots from next door. Which ballot do I vote?" We told him which ballots we were invalidating. With some people, it's a little bit more difficult because we don't know who got the two ballots. If a ballot is mailed, you know, in a place like any urban center, it's not 100% sure that you're going to get your ballot.
Well, this is really, really distressing.
I don't get all my mail. Look, Bob. I don't get all my mail. I get almost all my mail, but I don't get all my mail. Every now and then, a neighbor returns things to me. I have good neighbors on both sides of mine.
Okay, but what I heard you just say is you can't even be sure in each case when there was a duplicate ballot sent, and therefore know how to invalidate one and not the other. And also, I don't think it's helpful to cite the occasional case of a wrong digit causing a misaddress. The reality of hundreds of people who complained is that they didn't get a ballot. We're now finding out because the wrong database was used. And
right.
Then they called or emailed and got no response for weeks on end, which is why they called and emailed again. And so it's not the voter's fault. It's the way the system is being administered.
Okay.
Seriously problematic. But let me go on to the question of the PayPal. So what was the source of that, you know, denial of unavailability, let me say, of those names to be sent ballots, when in fact the interim general manager was aware of that 2 months ago? There were people being receiving voters getting emails back saying, you know, we don't have your address, your mailing address, please send it, et cetera, et cetera. So that's been known for a while. So what was the cause of the problem, and why did it take so long to be discovered?
It took so long for it to be discovered because I wasn't aware of it. Nobody talked to me about it. Ethan wasn't aware of it. Nobody talked to him about it. I don't know.
All right. Now, another
My
thing
answer
you...
is I don't know.
Okay. Another thing...
I simply assume that things there happen the same as here. All the PayPal stuff that comes in here is put in our MemSys thing. So that's an assumption of mine. It's a wrong assumption. I also had the assumption that everybody ran through NCOA. That's a standard thing that people do in business. I found out that's the wrong assumption. One
well,
should
not only
make
that,
assumption.
It was mandated by the PNB pursuant to a motion of this committee.
Mm-hmm.
And so that
2 years ago.
That calls into question, you know, the language that you mentioned that you had worked out with Ethan to put on the WBI website about this problem, talked about attributing it to old and complex problems. But actually, this is a new problem that should have been resolved in the last 2 or 3 months by the current management, which is running an NCOA and then, you know, forwarding to you the alert that the PayPal system was not feeding into MemSys. So it's really, really serious problem that none of this was caught in time. But I want to go on to something else you said that was...
Remember, we have some other people on the stack.
Yeah, no, I understand, but this is an absolute crisis at BAI. The number you gave for how many people, how many ballots have come in, 1203, or I'm sorry, 2200.
Mm-hmm.
But 1203 was the number that was stated the last time there was a publicly witnessed visit to the P.O. box.
Right.
So how do you know that larger number? There has been no further announcement of another visit to the P.O. box.
Because partially when there was another visit, there were three people. Ethan would have to tell you the names of the three people.
Why wasn't it announced?
What?
Why wasn't it announced that people could attend that, as it was the last time? Has it always been in every election?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. It should have been announced. If it wasn't announced, it should have been. That's all I can say. And that was the and at that point, over 900 ballots were picked up.
Okay, just one last thing. I want to express in the strongest terms that it's really unacceptable that there's been on another level, on another issue, there's been a mailing done by one of the private mailer groups, ACE in particular, that is. Used an unauthorized DVD of Noam Chomsky that his agent specifically wrote to the station managers and to Pacifica and insisted that it not be continue to be offered as something to be sent to voters. And yet I understand that people have been getting those mailings again this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that some action needs to be taken to prevent that kind of abuse from continuing.
The only thing that I can look at is what I get over my email. I mean, if there's more information, I'm open to looking at more information.
Les Ratke, you might as well let me answer that because I'm the party he's talking about.
Right. My answer is short, but I think you should give the long answer. My answer is short. My answer is that I found nothing wrong with the mailing.
My answer will be short, though not as short as yours. If Noam Chomsky or his agent has a problem with anything that's been done, he can address me directly. I have been in contact with Anthony Arnov. So I from my point of view, the issue is resolved. There have been many allegations made, all of which are false, and you can keep making them, and it's not going to do anybody any good. So as I said, if Mr. Chomsky has a problem, he has recourse with me. Pacifica is not responsible for my mailing. It's that simple. Neither is Les Ratke or Grace Aaron or LaVarne Williams or Ethan Young.
Well,
so it's a matter, it's a matter for Mr. Chomsky and Mr. Brown to take up if there is even any matter. I think there is not. So I would advise you to stop annoying this committee and the management of Pacifica with something that is out of their purview.
Well,
okay, let's just try to deal with questions for Les if we can.
Well, that was a question for Les, because I totally disagree with him that there was nothing that violated any rules in that mailing, and that is something within the purview of the National Election Supervisor, and in fact, what I understand is that Mr. Arnove has contacted Steve Brown, as well as the Pacifica official, and asked him to desist from continuing to offer this unauthorized DVD, so there's, you know, a very serious issue going on here. But I want to come back and offer a motion, Bill, after the other folks have spoken about the whole nature of the election in general, the FBAI, the whole future of the election.
Just all right. If anybody else wants to write wants a motion, please write it up and email it to us.
Bill,
yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Personal privilege.
Okay.
Bob, you keep repeating that. As I said, I have been in contact with Mr. Arnove. He has not contacted me further. The issue, to my mind, is resolved. If you have any additional correspondence from Arnove that he sent to you instead of me, I'd be interested in seeing it. Otherwise, let this go. It has nothing to do with Pacifica. It's a matter between me and Mr. Chomsky, if indeed there is a matter, which I think there is not.
Well, you know, Steve Brown has asserted that he had a contract with Mr. Chomsky, and that if that's indeed the case, that needs to be made available to the committee and to the PNB so that the bodies that are appropriate can look at
people. Well, the allegations made was that there was no contract between Chomsky and Pacifica, and if you want to stick by that allegation, you can.
Okay, I'll tell you if each of you would like to send stuff to Les, that's fine. I don't think the committees can resolve this anyway.
Les already has my complete
Chair.
Information. I have nothing more to send to Les.
Okay, can we go into the stack?
Yep, let's finish.
Okay, Carolyn, you're next.
Yes, thank you. Hi, Les.
Hi.
I'll talk to you in a bit. Sorry for all your troubles. I'm asking about one issue. Some time ago, I questioned, this was about 2-3 years ago, I questioned the fact that we have 5 different contracts with Memphis at 5 different stations and wondered if perhaps we might not be better off having one contract, one set of procedures and protocols, and if that wouldn't, in fact, alleviate some of the problems that we now have. And the other issue that I raised was who is responsible for maintaining this? Clearly, except for maybe one station, the lists are not being maintained the way they should at BAI. It's especially egregious because evidently people just don't know how to do this or they're making mistakes as we go along. And so I'm wondering, I know you've said that the national supervisor is not responsible for, the national supervisor is not responsible for vetting the list or ensuring their accuracy, but somebody has to be. And having been through this year again, and yet another set of problems, what would you recommend? Would you recommend maybe one master list? Would you recommend outsourcing it at all the stations or one or two stations that are problematic? Would you recommend a set of protocols that is administered centrally, not at any station? What is your recommendation or your thoughts? Maybe
I have a very serious recommendation. Look,
yeah, please.
If at every station we had this problem, I would say there's something seriously wrong with MEMSIS, the administration, et cetera, et cetera. But it's been taken care of, at least at one station, pretty well, I think. I would argue very well. And so it's a question of one contract, one set of rules. I don't understand why this isn't one of the main things that is taken care of. It wastes money to send out mailings to people who just throw them away. It wastes money to not know who the listeners are. It wastes money if you're not able to have somebody go in and say, here's exactly, you know, what the person paid, what the membership is. I mean, I don't understand that. There should be one set of rules. That one set of rules should be agreed on, and everybody has to follow it. If they don't follow it, in any business company, they'd be fired.
Well, we don't have one set of rules, is my point. We have five.
Well, let's have one set of rules. I mean,
well,
that should be made. That should be that should be a top priority.
Okay, but who's supposed to take responsibility for this? Obviously, we have five different top priorities, and it's not working.
Well, I think this is. I think membership lists, you know, are. We have a membership organization. Membership lists are the top priority, and you at least need to know who your members are. You should be able to trust that list.
Well, would you recommend outsourcing, or would you recommend a master list administered from one central location and by one person who knows what he or she is doing?
Well, when I talked to people, and I finally talked to people from MSIS, I found out it was a much better data processor than I thought. I thought maybe the problem was that it was MSIS. That's not the problem. The problem is using it. And so it's very simple. There are people who are technical, who understand this stuff. Bertold Reimer, I would imagine, is one of those. I'm sure there are many, many others. And what they should do is to come up with some recommendations, along with people like Chris Strelick, as to what the recommendations are, and those recommendations should be gone over, and they should be implemented at every station. If a person is not capable of implementing them, they should be removed from administering MEMSIS.
Okay, so you're not recommending outsourcing or
no, I don't. I don't think we have to outsource. I think the main thing is that there's not a standard that has been put out that should be used at all stations.
Yeah. Well, all right.
That's my feeling.
Thank you. It sort of answers my question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see, Jim. Jim Brown.
Yeah. Yes. That at WPFW we had 102 staff people who somehow they were just forgotten. How did that happen, and what causes that kind of a problem?
I don't know. I'm pretty much like you. I was sent that list, by the way, after all the mailings went out. And I said, what? What are you talking about? So, for folks who aren't aware, about a week or so after the mailings went out, I was sent a list of 102 people who were left off the staff list from WPFW. At that point, I immediately said, "This is ridiculous." I said I have to extend the election for 2 weeks, and I sent 102 ballots to Lydia. How did that happen? I don't know. I asked Lydia, and she said that somewhere in the transition they were forgotten.
On our side, on the PFW side, or where? I mean, I don't understand.
Well, yes, on the PFW side, yes.
Okay. What other problem are you having with our list?
Well, at WPFW, not a lot. There have been requests, and Lydia has her ballots with barcodes on them, and she's just when people have a request. I mean, the main thing is putting carts on the thing, saying people should, if they feel that they have not received their ballot and they should receive one, they should call in.